Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Beard, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we conclude our studies, the character studies of Bible heroes. We've listed four men: Moses, David, Elijah, and the Apostle Paul. Now, that does not mean, of course, that Bible heroes are limited to four in the Bible, but these heroes, all of these men, are set apart. They are linked together by reason of the fact that they all went to God's school. And we've entered the classroom with some of them. We have seen God teaching them lessons, and God is teaching us lessons. We're in God's school. Let's profit by the experience. We want to talk about Paul's experience today in the school of the Lord. Let's get quickly into our subject. The Apostle Paul, before he was saved, was called Saul of Tarsus. He was a proud Pharisee and highly educated at the feet of Gamaliel, a very known, respected teacher in the nation of Israel. He's mentioned in the book of Acts as being a noted teacher. And we learn that the apostle, Saul of Tarsus, rather, was a young man. Now, in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, we're going to be reading in chapter 9, if you care to read with us in the scriptures. And in the 8th chapter of Acts, at the martyrdom of Stephen, the first Christian martyr, the people who stoned Stephen laid their clothes at the feet of a young man whose name was Saul. And Saul was there. Was he supervising the execution? I don't know. But he was there. And he indeed saw it, and he was fully in accord with their actions. Now, this is the man that we're going to be talking about. And his salvation was a one-on-one experience. And we're going to turn to that 9th chapter of Acts now, where we read, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any in this way, in the Christian way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks, against the goads. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the man which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when he opened his eyes, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into the city of Damascus. Paul was stricken with blindness. And he was told that after 3 days of that blindness, he was told, There's a man by the name of Ananias that is coming to restore your sight and to introduce you into the Christian circles. And so Saul waited. Ananias went, and he found him, and he spoke of him as Brother Saul, and he accepted him. Now, this is just the beginning. We see this experience. Now, what was Paul's reaction to persecution of the church that he talks about? We find out in the first chapter, 1 Timothy. Well, we'll go beyond first chapter, 1 Timothy, but we do want to read there. First chapter, 1 Timothy, verse 11. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And that's not mock humility. He meant every word, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And then he gives a paean of praise. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now later, the Apostle Paul refers to himself in 1 Corinthians 15 as being the least of the apostles. Well, now that carries some some distinction, doesn't it? He was still an apostle. But in Ephesians 3 and 8, he speaks of himself as being less than the least of all saints. Paul was humbled. He learned his lesson. He lost his pride when he met our Lord Jesus Christ. And he indeed, his life was changed. And oh, this mighty, mighty apostle that we're talking about. We read in also, soon after his salvation and his preaching of Christ at Damascus, he fled, or perhaps was sent by the apostles, to Arabia, where he was for 3 years. Now, we read this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 17 to 19. I don't think we'll turn there. It takes too much time to read it. And he also mentions in Galatians 4 and 25, chapter 4, verse 24 and 25. He reads there about being sent to Arabia, and he was for 3 years in Arabia. What was he doing there? This was before he went down to Jerusalem, I believe. What was he doing there? Well, later in that fourth chapter of Galatians, he mentions the fact that Sinai is in Arabia. Do you suppose that Paul could have gone to the very spot where Moses went, and the very spot where Elijah went, at Sinai in Horeb? I wouldn't be a bit surprised. And while he was there for 3 years, God gave him the abundance of the revelations that caused him to write half of the books of the New Testament. This mighty man, he was in Arabia. It's a desert experience, and we want to make something of that. God likes to get us in the desert. He likes to get us on a one-on-one relationship with himself. Now, our Arabia might be a sick bed. I don't know. God comes into our lives. He wants our attention. He wants us to be with him. Now, in the olden days, monks went to monasteries to escape the temptations of this world and all that goes with it, the materialism and everything else that goes with it. But there was an inner world within them from which they could not escape. And that was the nature that Adam gave us when he sinned. That old evil nature of sin within all of us, Christians as well as unsaved. Only the Christian has help to overcome it. All right, now let's go on. After those 3 years, he went back and began his ministry. There was a time, though, however, he was up at Tarsus, and Barnabas was the first man who made contact with Paul in regard to teaching the Gentiles, particularly because that was his office, was to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Now, we see him in these respects. Now, he was in school there for 3 years, receiving that revelation of the scriptures that he wrote about. All right. Later in his ministry, Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. Oh, his schooling is not over. He's going to take us into the classroom where God sent him again. Later in his ministry, Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. And three times he went before the Lord. This, I think I shall read this. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messengers of Satan to buffet me, the messenger, singular, of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. It was hindering his service, he felt. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. What an humbling experience for Paul. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I'd like to ask my listening audience, have you ever made a request like that? Have you ever considered these trials that come on us as the Apostle Paul did? He was glad because it made him depend upon the Lord. Now let's think and apply these things to ourselves, that the experiences of these four men, Moses, David, and Elijah, who went to God's school in the wilderness, David's experience without watching the flock. But he was being educated to be a leader of God's people. Even our Lord Jesus was a shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And so it is with you and me. We are in God's school. He's teaching us now. And we can go to a Bible seminary and receive a lot of good information. True enough. But God must educate us. He must prepare us, and he leads us to his school. Have you been there? I've been there. I'm telling you, I know what it means to be taught of the Lord. I know what it means to feel his presence. And so it is that these men might be used of God, and these broadcasts, the four of them, four tapes on these various four heroes, have been prepared that we might be made to realize how we need a one-on-one relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a busy world. This is a world that demands our attention. This is the world that would deflect our thoughts from God to our own responsibilities. Oh, the complexity of this age, but oh, the simplicity of just getting alone with God in a wilderness situation, with nothing to detract. Oh, that we need that experience. We need to get alone with God. We need to learn of his presence. We need to hear his voice. We need to learn his lessons. And sometimes he may take us to the desert. I don't know, perhaps this will prepare somebody listening to the broadcast for an experience yet to come. He may take us to the desert that we might learn him, his ways, and the beauty and a fellowship with a living God. Father, today impress these things upon our hearts. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks. Amen.